Scripture lesson this morning is John chapter 10, verses 7 through 18, found on page 933 in your pew Bible. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. As the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This charge I have received from my Father."
Thank you, Larry. How many people here, when you were a kid, took music lessons of some sort? Right, okay, a bunch of you. All right, so maybe I'm not the only one who had the experience that I'm about to tell you. Maybe I'm not the only one. See, here's what happened. I took piano lessons, and I was not the first year, but it was a couple years into it, but I still wasn't very good. But I was learning a song. I was learning a song that I liked. Do you know how at the beginning of music lessons, they never give you any songs that you like? Have you noticed that? Right? It's a wonder that anybody learns how to play anything, given how they go ahead and, you know, structure that. But I had finally come to the point in my musical career where I could actually play a song that I liked. And I was learning the right notes and painstakingly teaching my 10 fingers to get in the right place at the right time. And so practice session after practice session. And I really worked really hard on this. And then the next week I was so happy because I got it, right? And there's nothing better than that sense of accomplishment. When you work really hard and you've got it. And so I didn't walk into my piano lesson that week. I strutted, right? I knew it. And so I sat down and I started playing this song and I hit everything right. It was just nailed it. And my instructor kind of smiled and looked at me. And this song was like, like the one that we just sang, "He Lives," right? It's an upbeat song. It was like the one we sang at the beginning of our time. This is the day. It was a happy song. And so he looks at me and he asks the question, "Who died? Who died?" I looked at him like, "I don't know. Who died? He's like, "Because you're playing this song like it's a funeral dirge. You're playing like somebody died." I thought, oh. And like a good instructor, he was pointing out to me the fact that, yes, you did play all the correct notes, but there is more to music. There's more to music than just hitting the right notes. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, I got one amen. There is more to music than just playing the right notes. There is a heart that has to go into the song. And so if we had sung this morning,
He lives, Christ Jesus lives today.
Right, if we sang it that way, no one would believe us. We would question whether we believed ourselves, right? That's not the way we sing. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. And so that's how I was playing this song, though. And I confused my short-term achievement, of getting all the right notes, I confused that with the overall goal of why I was going to piano lessons. I confused those two things. Playing the right notes versus playing music. Doing the right thing versus having a mission, having a goal, having a vision for what that talent could be. Today, I'm going to submit to you that the church, our church, is a little bit like me. Playing the right notes, but we've lost our heart. In some ways, we've lost our heart. We've lost our vision. We've lost our mission. And so today, we are going to restart that mission. Last week, I asked, there's going to be like, it's going to go through every single slide like really, really fast here in a second. There we go. Last week, I sent a piece of paper around. I sent this graph around to the two different coffee hours. So if you didn't stay for coffee hour last week, this is brand new to you. If you did, you might recognize this. You might have had a discussion about this. And I asked both of the coffee hours to discuss this and bring it back to me. Bring it back to me. And this is what this is saying, in case you can't see it. Now, this is the life cycle of the church. A life cycle of the church. And so when a church begins, I don't know if you have a concept of what it's like when a church begins. When a church begins, there is a person, or a very, very small group, but there's a person, and somebody has a vision. A vision. See, over on the left-hand side, right here, that's where the vision starts. And there's just an idea. There's this calling of God, and it's something that can't be ignored. It's an amazing feeling. It's just a calling. A calling on someone's life to go and start this community of faith. And it is faith. It's a step of faith because they are all alone. But they start to share the vision. They start to call their, they start to speak their calling. And you know what happens? Some other people start to hear that. And as that gets put out there, other people hear that vision, and they say, you know what, I want to be a part of that. I want some of that. And so relationships start to form, and the church moves into its infancy stage. And as these relationships build, then they say, you know, it's great to talk about this, but you know what, we need to actually go and do something about it. And so they start some programs. They start a program like maybe a soup kitchen. They start a program like maybe a worship service. They start a program, a VBS, a vacation Bible school, an after-school program. Something like that happens. And as time goes by, with this vision and these relationships and these programs in place, somebody says, hey, I'm going to contribute to this. I'm going to financially back this, or I'm going to give you a place to do this, or I'm going to give you supplies so that your program can work. And all of a sudden, you have an adult church with vision and relationships and program and structure. A few years ago, I went to Washington, D.C., and I visited a church called the Church for All People, and they had this amazing after-school program. This after-school program had 500 kids coming to it every single day of the week. Monday to Friday, every single school day, they had 500 kids. And they had this building that was just mind-blowing. It's everything a kid could want. And they had a theater program. A theater program that had its own, well, a theater, a professional-grade theater in it. And they had a music program that had this rehearsal room and instrument storage, and there were wind instruments, and there were string instruments, they had their own symphony for these kids. And they had art rooms. Rooms, plural. They had rooms that were dedicated to the arts. And they had a place where kids could go and learn about computers, a computer lab. And they had a homework help area. And they had professionals coming in to help, or at least graduate student level people. So they had a gal, while we were going through, there was a gal from Georgetown University, master's level student. She was interviewing to see if she could get a volunteer spot with this organization. And I looked around and I said, how did this begin? How do you do this? And they said, oh, this was 20 years ago. 25 years ago, maybe. And there were these two elderly ladies. They've since passed away. But these two elderly ladies, they were looking out their window from their apartment. And they looked out and they saw that from 3:30, when school got out, to 5:30, there were all these kids just running amok. And they were causing damage. They were getting arrested. They were forming gangs. And these two little old ladies just said, you know, this isn't right. And so they opened up their apartment. They had a vision. They had a vision of these kids not getting in trouble, of these kids being nurtured. And so they opened up their apartment, and they had half a dozen kids come in. They fed them cookies, and they played games together, and they helped them with their homework. But they had such a vision, they had such a passion for this vision, that together with their relationship, they started to grow. And after a little while, half a dozen kids became 10 kids, and 10 kids became 12 kids, and that became 15, and that became 20. And before you know it, this little Washington, D.C. apartment couldn't fit them, and so they found another place, and somebody came along and said, wow, you're doing some really good work here. And before you know it, day after day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, this thing blossomed to 500 plus kids and their own facilities doing absolutely incredible things. And this is how the church works. This is how the church works as well. That would be one program within a church. Because they had that vision, because they were part of this church for all people, and they understood how to listen to the movement of the Spirit, the calling of God on their lives. And these two elderly ladies went and did this thing out of an act of faith. But in the church, do you know what sometimes happens? You know what sometimes happens is that sometimes we move over to the right-hand side of this graph. And something very, very subtle happens. See, when a church has vision and relationships and programs and structure, it's firing on all cylinders. And maybe some of you think back to our church when that was true. But then something very subtle happens. People stop talking about the vision. They stop talking about the vision. And everything else stays the same. They stop talking about why we do what we do. Everything else stays the same. Still have great relationships. Still have amazing programs. Still have the structure that supports it all. But do you see what just happened? When we stop talking about the vision, when we stop talking about the mission, about why we do what we do, all of a sudden we've moved. And like the very top of a roller coaster. Have you ever been on one of those? You know, when you're at the very top, you're not moving very fast, right? You're just seeing what's coming. At the very top of a roller coaster, downward momentum starts when we stop talking about the vision. The next thing you know, well, if you don't have a vision, people start to burn out. And your volunteers stop volunteering to be in the nursery. They stop volunteering to be Sunday school teachers, they stop volunteering to work in the soup kitchen. They stop volunteering, and before you know it, the programs start to dissolve because people forget why they're there, and if they don't know why they're there, if they're tired, they don't come. And the programs dissolve, and you move into the empty nest stage. And then somebody says, hey, do you remember when we used to do this? And some very, very tired people say, yes, I remember when we used to do that. So somebody starts to look around and they say, you know, we're starting to compact a little bit. We need to bring back these programs so that people will come back. But do you notice what just happened? We're putting the faith in the program rather than in the call that God puts on our lives and on our church. We're putting faith in a program on something that we do, not on the reason that we do it. And so we move into a retirement phase where we desperately grasp, but our relationships aren't based upon the vision. And so those have dropped off now. And inevitably, people get tired. And there's this last flame out. And we move into old age where we have the structure. We have the trustees that still meet. We have the finance team. We have personnel. But there's not a whole lot going on. And then that structure gradually shrinks as either people leave or they pass away. And then the church closes. This is the life cycle of a church. Now, when I asked our church, and so if you didn't answer this question, it's very likely that somebody sitting down the pew next to you did. When I asked this question, where are we on this sheet? The answers between both services were exactly the same. Exactly the same. Everybody says that we have structure. We have good structure here. We've got a good building, good place for things to happen. We have people that are willing to work. We have enough financial contributions, although maybe not as many as the finance team would like. We have good structure. And we have programs. We have programs. We do things. We do things. We have a soup kitchen. We have a Sunday school. We have adult education. We have programs that reach out into the community, and we have programs that are good for discipling. But then we started talking about relationships. And some people said, you know, I have good relationships here, but I miss some people. I miss some people. And this is both services saying exactly the same thing about the other service. And then everybody universally agreed that we lack vision. That when we ask, why does this church do what it does? There isn't one solid answer to that. So, that's what we're going to get into. That's what today and the next 5 weeks are going to be about. That's what we are going to strive to find. Because do you see what happens when you don't have vision? Do you see what happens? It's that top of the roller coaster. And we are still very much at the top there. We might argue about how far we've slid down, but what I can tell you for sure is when we find our vision again, when we find that again, the whole thing starts over. The whole thing starts over. So that's what we are going to be focusing on. That's what we're going to be focusing on. Now, I'm going to use mission and vision relatively interchangeably. When we talk about mission, we're talking about why we do what we do. When we talk about a vision, we're talking about how we're going to do that in our context. So if we had a mission, we're going to do that one way here, but if you moved to another place, you might do that another way. So just some terminology there. I think we're a little bit like a fledgling musician, that we play the right notes, but that we aren't playing music. That we're not playing music. And if we're going to do this, we are going to have each individual, each one of you, decide that you are going to be a part of this. You need to decide that you're going to buy in. It starts with the individual. And it's about more than saying the right words, right? It's because it's about more than just playing the right notes. This is about selling your heart out to God, just giving it over to God. This is about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's a song that goes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Right. Are you going to decide to be a disciple of Jesus Christ that loves like crazy? That loves your God more than anything else in the whole world and loves your neighbor just as much as you love yourself? That's where the beginning is. It's not even about saying the right creed. It's not about believing the exact right thing. It's about obeying that core tenet. Not saying that the right creed isn't important. But you can say the right things without having the right heart. And then you miss out. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? As you're hearing my voice right now, can you honestly answer yes to that question? A vital, vital starting point for this. And if you cannot answer yes to that question, we need to talk. This week, call me. Let's talk, because we all need to be at this basic starting point. And then we come together as church. Now, I don't know if you heard me earlier. This isn't about the right programs. This isn't about having the right programs. People have told me, and bemoaned the loss of programs. They've said, oh, Pastor, I remember when we had this amazing choir. And I like amazing choirs. I used to be a choir director. I love choral music. I love hearing that sound on Sunday morning of people and getting the robes and just the making a joyful noise. Sometimes more noise than music, but, you know, I wasn't a very good choir director, but I love hearing that. But the health of the church is not dictated by the existence or non-existence of the choir. It's about having that vision. It is about saying, this is what we are about. And this is how I, as an individual, fit into that. This is where God is calling us, and this is how I am called to help. We're going to answer those two questions. It's not about just knowing the words to the mission statement. It's not about, and by the way, I haven't talked to anybody who actually knows those words, right? I've asked, what's the mission statement of this church? Well, it goes up on the screen every once in a while. It's maybe printed on your bulletin somewhere, I don't know. You're the pastor, you ought to know that. But nobody knows. And a few years ago, somebody in a meeting, they were saying, yeah, a few years ago, we sat down and we argued about this. And we had this big fight about what our, you know, a big fight, really, about what our mission statement should be. And I was like, wow, so you were really emotionally invested in this. You should remember this. No. Wow, you wasted a good fight. No one knows this. And so effectively, it does not exist. And we are going to go back to having a mission statement, and you are going to know it, but I want you to understand that this is about more than just having a statement. This is about having a mission. Once upon a time, I was in the Coast Guard. And we think about the word mission a little bit differently than people in the church think about the word mission. See, the unofficial motto of the Coast Guard, the official motto of the Coast Guard is Semper Paratus, always ready. The unofficial motto is, you have to go out, you don't have to come back. I think about this term mission a little bit differently. And I'm hoping that I can get you to think about this term mission a little bit differently. That the people that are out there, that are in trouble, are worth sacrificing everything to reach. We have a mission. We have a mission. We have been put into this community for a reason. And we need to get back to that. And we need to have a vision for how we are going to live that out here. Because there are people out there that do not know the grace of God. And my question right now is, what are you willing to sacrifice so that they know the grace of God? We had some technical problems this morning. And so the envelopes that are in the back, not everybody got one, but some of you did. Don't worry if you didn't get one this morning. There's going to be some going out in the mail this week. And if you don't get one in the mail this week, there will be a whole bunch of them. There will just be a ton of them there next week. Even if your name isn't on it, that's okay. Everybody's going to get one before we start next week. Because next week, we're going back to the individual. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about five vows really quickly. How many people in this room are members of this church? Many of you. Okay, you can put your hands down. If you are a member of this church, you took vows, much like you took marriage vows. I don't know what you think of when you think of a vow. I think if you decided to take a vow, it was a pretty darned important moment in your life. And so I'm going to remind you of the vows of your membership. And if you are not a member, I'm going to ask one of two things of you. Number one, I'm going to ask that you would consider becoming one. Number two, I'm going to ask that even if you don't want to become an official member of the church, that you would consider how you are going to live these vows out just because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. These vows are prayer, presence, gifts, service, and witness. These are the vows of membership. Prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. We're going to be going over all of that. And I believe that you as an individual and we as a church will find our vision when we start living into our vows. There's another part to that graph that I showed you. There's another part to that graph, and I want to just show you that right now. See, here it is. It isn't just you go over and you die as a church. No. That can be what happens, but it doesn't have to be what happens. You see, we need to be coming back to our vision every 4 to 7 years, and what happens is you start over. We start over as a church because we are a church that believes not in death, but in resurrection. We are a church that believes that when we come back to Jesus, when we come back to Jesus, we see that He is the gate, as our scripture told us this morning, that He is the good shepherd. Last week we talked about David saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," and this week we're talking about Jesus saying, "I am the shepherd who brings abundant life." Abundant life. And each time we find our vision, we just get a little bit closer to God. Each time we find this, we get better. As disciples, we become more holy. We become more filled with grace as individuals and as a church. And that is what we are going to do. And so this week, your challenge is to go out and get on your knees and start praying for the church. Because we're going to start something. We're going to start something that hasn't been done here in a while. We're going to find our passion. We're going to find our calling. And we are going to light this town up. Would you pray with me? God, we know that You are in this place. We know that Your Spirit is here. We know that You are calling us. And whether our age as an individual is that of a young person or that of an elderly person, we know that we are young compared to You. We know that You are calling us. While we still have breath, we can still witness for You. We can still pray. We can still grow in grace. And we can still invite other people to do the same. And so, God, would You send Your Spirit into this place so that we can come and know You more? Would You come and give us Your love so that we can love You more, so that we can love one another more? God, would You give us the sense of Your Spirit? Would You embolden us to recognize that we have a mission to reach out to others in this community? Give us a heart for the lost. Give us a heart for those who don't know You. Give us a willingness to sacrifice whatever it is that we need to sacrifice so that one more person can come and know You. God, we love You. Help us to grow in that love and live into that love, to share that love. And all God's people said, Amen.